We're going to start reading at John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 and finish at verse 10. Again from the New King James Translation I read this morning. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things?" Well, certainly one of the questions I hear most often is, how were people in the Old Testament times saved? They lived many, many years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem and then died on the cross to pay for our sins. They never heard about salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Some people say they were saved by sincerely responding to what God had revealed to them at that time. They say that did not include the need to believe in Jesus. And that kind of thinking can lead to some problems, some theological problems as Christians. Because if God saved people back then who obviously did not believe in Jesus, then God should be willing to do the same today. And it seems like a logical assumption. But if that were true, then what we read about in the New Testament would be false. So today, and perhaps, depending on how well we get through things here this morning, perhaps for another couple of Sundays, we're going to examine and answer the following question. How were people saved before Jesus came? How were people saved before Jesus came? Now, I could give you my opinions, but the best way for me to help answer that question is to allow the Bible to eliminate some suggested answers and then look for what the Bible says is the real answer. And we're going to try to do that one step at a time. If you're taking notes, point number one, Old Testament people were not saved by any work of righteousness. Old Testament people were not saved by any work of righteousness. I call your attention to what God's Word says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Listen as I read this to you. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Now in the Old Testament, we read about people sacrificing animals. So the question is, did sacrificing animals save them? Well, the answer to that question is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, where it says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." So that pretty well eliminates that. First of all, we have eliminated the assumption that any righteous thing that Old Testament people did earned them the right to eternal life. That's been blown away by Titus 3:5. Some people would say, well, they are saved because they sacrificed sheep, lambs, goats, bulls, whatever, and those sacrifices paid for their sin. But that is blown apart by Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. We also read in the Old Testament about God giving Moses the Ten Commandments and many other laws for the Hebrew people to keep, which we can find easily in the Old Testament in the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy. So the question is, did keeping the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses save them? The answer to that question is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, even though none of the Old Testament people were perfect, we do read about people who did some good things. So, again, did good works earn the right for these people who lived in Old Testament times to inherit eternal life and be with Jesus later on? Well, the answer to that question is found in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So, from these scriptures, we can see that before Jesus came, Old Testament people were not saved by offering animal sacrifices, by keeping the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments, and certainly not by doing good works. None of those things, according to what we see in the New Testament, saved those people. Point number two, they were saved on the basis of Christ's death. They were saved on the basis of Christ's death. Taking us back into the book of Revelation briefly here for a moment this morning, we read in Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay. You see, friends, in God's mind, the eventual death of his only begotten Son, Jesus, on the cross was as good as done even before the world was created. God, in his mind, knew ahead that this was going to have to happen to save mankind. So some 800 years before Jesus did die on that cross, the old prophet Isaiah wrote of his death in the past tense. Listen to it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, again, folks, Isaiah wrote that 800 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And clearly, Isaiah was referring to none other than the coming Jesus. Isaiah says Jesus is going to pay for our sin. The word him there in Isaiah 53:6 obviously refers to Jesus, who as a member of the Holy Trinity was with God the Father before creation. Romans 3:25 says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. God could pass over the sins of men committed before Jesus came, because, again, in his mind, God's mind, Jesus would eventually pay for those sins. And therefore, before Jesus came, people were saved on the basis of the coming of his death for their sins. Let's move on to point three. Old Testament people were saved by faith alone. Old Testament people were saved by faith alone. A couple of verses from Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, what did it say in that verse? Accounted to him for righteousness? He believed God. Verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Faith is accounted for righteousness. Now, using Abraham as an example, Paul shows that before Jesus came, people were saved by faith alone, not by their works, not by keeping the Ten Commandments or the Mosaic Law, not by sacrificing animals such as sheep, goats, bulls, whatever, not saved by doing good things, but they were saved by faith alone. But that puts up another interesting question. Faith in what? Faith in who? And that brings me to point number four. They were saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Let me rack that up and shoot it to you again. Point four, they were saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 again. It says, Abraham believed God. So, what was it that God told Abraham to believe is an obvious question. We know that God told Abraham to move his family, right? You remember reading that story? God told Abraham to pick up everything and move away from his family and go to a land where he'd never been before. Now, some would say that had nothing to do with Jesus. Some say God didn't tell Abraham to believe in Christ there. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 56, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, just in case that verse slipped past you, I want you to see it in your Bible. Turn with me again. We're here in John, if you still have your Bible open to John, to chapter 8. Verse 56, I want you to see this. You might even want to mark this in case you're ever asked this question about how people in the Old Testament were saved. John chapter 8, verse 56. Now again, I'm reading from the New King James. And if you don't have the New King James, there might be a word or two different, but it still should say the very same thing in meaning. John 8, 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see what? What does it say? My day. Now, who said these words? Jesus. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, that's a little bit difficult for you and me and our little brains to comprehend all of that meaning there. Because 2,000 years before Jesus came, Abraham looked ahead in time and believed in a coming Christ for eternal life. That's what that verse is saying. And therefore, Abraham was saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Now, in the Old Testament, you'll find another book, probably the oldest book of all the books in the Bible, the book of Job. And it's believed, again, to be the oldest, the first known written scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit and eventually put in scripture. Listen to what Job wrote in Job 19, verses 25 and 26. Obviously, this applies to people way before the birth of Jesus. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." That was Job, friends. He says, "I know my Redeemer lives." Now, was Jesus living back when Job wrote this? Yes, he was. The incarnate Christ. But he was born in the flesh in Bethlehem many, many years later. "And he shall stand at last on the earth." And that's exactly what happened with Jesus, isn't it? 2,000 years before Jesus came, Job knew that his Redeemer was coming to this earth to pay the price for his sins. Job had assurance that because of his Redeemer, he would live with God after his death. Another important person in the Old Testament was none other than Moses. We've all read about Moses, haven't we? Heard stories about him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26 says this about Moses. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." That last few words puts it close. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." So this is saying to us, living 1,500 years before Jesus came to earth, Moses not only believed in a coming Christ, he also understood God's truth concerning rewards. Did you folks know that Moses even wrote about Jesus? Look what he said, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 56. John chapter 5, verse 46. Everybody got that in your Bible? "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Isn't that amazing? Jesus says here in John 5, 46, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." So Abraham, Job, and Moses show us that before Jesus came, people were saved by believing in the coming Christ who had yet come to the earth. Today, friends, we are saved by believing in the same Christ who has come. They looked forward to the coming of Christ. You and I, we look backward to the one who came. See, friends, people have always been saved in the same way, by faith alone in Christ alone. All right, that's as far as I'm going to go here this morning. Next Sunday, we're going to answer three more questions. One, how did people know how to be saved before the Old Testament was written? Number two, how did people know how to be saved while the Old Testament was being written? And three, how did people know how to be saved after the Old Testament was completed? And I believe that answering those questions next Sunday will help us to know how people knew how to be saved before Jesus came. So Do your best to be here next Sunday as we continue to examine a very, very important question. And it is a legitimate question. As I said, I've had people ask me this in my 26 some odd years of being a pastor. I don't know how many times, I'd hate to think how many times I've been asked this question. And maybe you yourself, if you are known to be a follower of Jesus, maybe someone will ask you the same question. And quite frankly, don't be surprised if you turn on the television and tune to some Christian television channel or turn on some Christian radio station and hear some preacher or some priest or somebody who proclaims to be an expert in the scriptures and begins to try to tell you that people in the Old Testament were saved by sacrificing bulls and sheep. We done shot that down, didn't we? Or might tell you they were saved by keeping the Ten Commandments or by doing good works. But I hope you've been listening this morning because I've shown you verses that say that ain't so. Scripture says clearly people are saved, have been saved, now are saved, will always be saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for these faithful ones who come each Sunday morning, and I know I can count on them. Lord, I just wish I could count on some more others who come here to be more faithful in their attendance. Because they're missing out, Lord, I know, on some very important sermons, missing out on the fellowship of this loving congregation. I ask, Lord, now that you would take what I've preached here this morning and ingrain it in the minds of each hearer so that when they get this same question, how were people in the Old Testament saved, posed to them, well, they'll have an answer, and they'll be readily available with that answer to help people understand better the way you have made a way for people to be saved through your only begotten Son. It's in his name we pray, and amen.